Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Pacers beat the Thunder tonight, 116-107. We'll get back into that momentarily. Because I do want to just, again, talk a little NFL. We talked some NFL, hour number two, with some of these holdouts. You've got Trey Hendrickson, Terry McLaurin, and T.J. Watt of the Steelers, who have been a team of interest this week. We've heard from Mike Tomlin. We've heard from Aaron Rodgers. And nothing says NFL offseason like listening to sound bites from the team's offensive coordinator. So put down whatever it is that you're doing and turn the volume up. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Arthur Smith cuts. I thought Arthur Smith was the worst coach in all of football when he was with the Falcons. I just thought he was terrible. Every decision was dumb. Remember the one time he, like, screwed over fantasy owners by not playing Bijan Robinson, and then he played him at the very end of the game, and he had like a 7-yard run. So then it screwed over gamblers too because they couldn't nullify the – he sucks. Not just because of that, but somewhat because of that. I had Bijan Robinson that year. I was mad. I went to play him. Also, I didn't like a lot of his demeanor. He's one of these guys that – you know, there's like football guys, but then there's guys that like try to be football guys. I don't like those guys. I think Arthur Smith is one of those guys. And now that personality is going to have to contend with Aaron Rodgers' personality. Or maybe they'll get along just great. We talk about Mike Tomlin a lot because Aaron Rodgers gets to play for Mike Tomlin. But he's also got to play for Arthur Smith, who is excited to have Aaron Rodgers on board.
I've gotten to know Aaron outside of football the last couple of years. I mean, you're talking about one of the all-time great quarterbacks and the things he's accomplished in this league. Really enjoyed, you know, obviously getting to know him as a, you know, the player-coach relationship with the football stuff. Just really excited to have him here. It's going to be a fun journey. But, you know, I know we're only a couple days in, but he's been awesome.
Where would Arthur Smith have gotten to know Aaron Rodgers outside of football the last couple of years? Now, they're almost the same age, so that's fun. Wow, I didn't even know that. You know who his dad is? Maybe I knew that. His dad founded FedEx. Great. Arthur Smith was the coach of the Falcons after being the offensive coordinator with the Titans for a handful of years. He was 7-10 every year he was in Atlanta. Took over the offensive coordinator job in Pittsburgh last year, and this year he'll, again, have a new quarterback and a new receiver in DK Metcalf. And this was a run-heavy team last year, but now they've got the Rodgers to Metcalf connection. You're going to probably see a change in the offense, says Smith.
Every year is going to be different. You evolve depending on, you know, obviously who you've got personnel-wise and strategically, you know, things you want to evolve to, and that's a lot of times how roster decisions get made. You know, you see it through off-season acquisitions, free agency, draft. So when you put those strategies in place, like, we've evolved every year. You know, you have to, so a lot of times out of necessity, it really, you know, had a lot of different quarterbacks with a lot of different skill sets, and our job, especially as a coach, is, you know, to play to the strengths of your players. I mean, we have our foundation things that don't change, but whether you lean into certain schemes year after year, you adapt again to the personnel you've got, that's what we try to do. And then ultimately to win games and set guys up for success.
Could you imagine if your dad invented FedEx? His dad was also part of the Skull and Bones secret society.
That true?
Yeah.
Wow. So what, it's... His Arthur Smith's dad and Bush?
Yeah. Who else?
What the hell are you doing coaching football?
Who else was in the Skull and Bones? Do you think there's like an Illuminati that controls everything?
Yes. Wish you asked me this months ago. We could have been had this conversation out the way.
Because the Skull and Bones is rumored to be a branch of the Illuminati. Skull and Bones is an undergraduate senior secret student society at Yale. And Arthur Smith's dad was a part of it. And then he invented FedEx. He was a fraternity brother with George W. Bush.
Of course he was.
And then to play both sides of the aisle, he was also good friends with John Kerry. And they were flying partners. They liked to fly together. I'm John Kerry. Fred Smith's son, Arthur, is just a simple football coach who is defending his play calling after the rumored drama between him and Russell Wilson.
We never fundamentally changed. I mean, we obviously schematically shifted to try to play a little bit different with Justin and with Russ, but the operation never changed. So whatever fantastical narrative was that we're just calling plays to the line, I don't know the history reference. I just know what we did in Pittsburgh in 24.
Russell was probably like, hey, was your dad in Skull and Bones? Arthur Smith. Man, oh man. Smith says the offense will look more balanced. Sometimes I try to tell a story with the cuts. Sometimes I just read the slug. He says the offense will look more balanced with Rodgers under center.
You'd love to be more balanced. You're not obvious, depending on how you want to attack this defense, where you think their strengths, weaknesses are. I mean, that's the game that's played every Sunday. You know, and obviously, as your roster evolves, I mean, obviously, we didn't bring Aaron in here and sign DK for all that money to go run the wishbone. So, you know, you try to play to the strengths of your team.
The wishbone? Hmm. What if my son grew up and then was a part of Skull and Bones?
You should be so proud.
Arthur Smith has 9 siblings. Wow. I wonder why he didn't get into the family business. I wonder how he got involved in football. Sorry, folks. I'm very interested in Arthur Smith's childhood.
I'm wondering why Arthur Smith's dad doesn't own an NFL team.
Yeah, owner of FedEx. Isn't there a FedEx field?
Yeah, that's in Washington, which is about to get demolished because it's a dump.
Yeah. Oh, they don't call it that anymore?
Don't they? I thought they do. But no, they're going to get a new stadium. I think this... I don't know if this year's the last year or if it's done in 2 years, but they're opening a stadium where the old RFK Stadium was.
Yeah.
That one is going to be opening up pretty soon.
No, FedEx relinquished their sponsorship of the stadium just after last season. It will now be called, or no, let, no. Last year, it wasn't even FedEx Field. Really? It was called Commander's Field. Was that common knowledge? It was temporarily renamed Commander's Field, and now it's Northwest Stadium, named for Northwest Federal Credit Union. So how about that? FedEx got out of the field naming game.
Wait a minute. Northwest Credit Union and they're in the DMV area? It's not exactly Northwest. But Northwest of what?
Are you trying to replay one of your liners?
No, I'm being serious. This is not a Southwest Airlines thing. I mean, the Northwest is like North West, like what? Like Portland and Seattle. How the hell is Northwest Credit Union in the DMV?
I think maybe because they were in the northwest of Virginia.
Damn, how much money do they have that they can name the stadium after themselves?
Yeah, I don't know. And credit unions are supposed to, like, give a lot more money back than a normal bank.
Yeah, shout out Navy Federal. Not only do they have the Defensive Player of the Week every week, they also one of my bank accounts.
Now, the FedEx Forum still exists in Memphis. Just so everybody's aware, they still have retained the naming rights for the Grizzlies Arena. I've got a question about the Steelers here. I'm trying to put together at least what I think. This is what I like to do, guys. The Bartometer is on Thursday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. For now, we're going to move it to Tuesdays come September 2nd. But what I like to do is kind of put together a list maybe and see how it checks out with the Bartometer. I don't put together the list that you then hear on the Bartometer. That would be deception. But the Bartometer tomorrow on Thursday's show will be biggest revenge games of 2025 in the NFL. Which games have the biggest revenge factor to them? And I wonder if Steelers-Jets is a bigger revenge game than Packers-Steelers. And I wonder that for two reasons. One, Rodgers versus the Jets. Well, three reasons. Rodgers versus the Jets, Fields versus the Steelers. Although he wasn't there that long, so I don't know what the animosity is. And Rodgers was with the Jets for 2 years, but that did not end well. And when he does these interviews, you know, he still talks glowingly about the Packers as part of a long, you know, historic franchise. You know, I think he still kind of says we sometimes with the Packers. We did this. I think he would, I don't know. That'd be something I'd want to ask him. Not why are you faking being married, but which team, if you could only beat one, would you rather get a win against? But then if I asked that question, I would think that he would probably say the Packers. What do you think is a bigger revenge? Like, am I crazy to think that Steelers-Jets, and it's week one, so it's going to set the tone for their seasons too. Am I crazy, Carlos, to think that Steelers-Jets is a bigger revenge game than Packers-Steelers? I have to be.
No, I'm cool with the Steelers-Jets being a revenge game. Now, you kind of said, you know, you glazed over Justin Fields really quickly. I think there is a little more animosity that Fields would have toward the Steelers. Yeah, he wasn't there that long, but they were pretty good with Fields under center. Granted, you know, I'm sure they didn't like the offense production, but they were winning. So Fields really got a short leash. He got four games. Once Russell Wilson was ready, he kind of yanked them out. So, like, if I'm Justin Fields, I'm ready to ball out. I'm about to put 250 on you on through the air and maybe 80 on the ground just to let you know this is what you could have had.
Yeah, there's definitely that part of it. So it's a dual part. Do you think Rodgers, if you asked him, would he rather beat the Jets or the Packers? He'd say Packers,
right? Oh, Packers 1,000%. I don't think he cares about the Jets whatsoever.
Yeah, I think he got pretty much kicked off of both teams in a way.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, it was 2 years. 1 year, he was completely out of it. So it's like, whatever. And then a year that he came, the team kind of stunk, but everybody knew what was going to happen. And once the second that Robert Saleh got fired, he's like, well, this is over. So I don't think he really has any animosity toward the Jets. He's like, all right, you know, I got my money. I'm out.
So Packers-Steelers would be a bigger revenge game than Jets-Steelers, or the Justin Fields factor puts that over?
I think
the
Justin Fields factor puts it over because you got animosity on both sides. But I think Rodgers, like, if you want to just say which team he wants to beat more, it's 1,000,000%, it's the Packers. He probably wishes he was the Packers quarterback right now.
Do you think that then those would be the biggest revenge games of the season?
That's a good question. I mean,
because other ones I can think of right away, you think of the playoffs. So Chiefs-Bills,
right.
Eagles-Chiefs,
yeah.
Ravens-Bills, Lions-Commanders, you think of all those. There's also, like, Sam Darnold against the Vikings and Russell Wilson against the Broncos, I guess.
No shot.
Mike Vrabel against the Titans.
Ooh, how about that? That's not too bad. What about Nick Chubb versus the Browns? Do they play each other?
I don't know. Ben Johnson against the Lions.
That one's going to be good. I don't know if that's a revenge game, but I think that's going to be like a big measuring stick for the Bears. Like, all right, we're here now. Or they can get slapped and nothing changes in Chicago.
Let's get Mike in Maryland. Mike, what's happening?
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Just driving my truck like I do. Listen to you guys all the way down into Virginia. Really like it. I'm a lifelong Steelers fan. Do not like anything they've done this offspring. I don't want Rodgers. You know, I think I love TJ Watt, but if they could trade him, I think they need a reset. Okay, I don't think they should have signed DJ Metcalf. I think that they should have traded Watt. They traded Pickens. I don't get it. And how is Acrisure Stadium in Pittsburgh, like you were talking about Northwest Stadium? But yeah, I would give Mason Rudolph the year and, you know, get some draft picks for these guys and restart. You know, I like Tomlin, but I think they need a fresh start there. And, you know, and their offensive philosophy is not a good one. Short run, incomplete, short pass, punt. That's not a good offense for me. I don't know. I don't like Arthur Smith, but it's been like that for 20 years. You know, Ben in his heyday was good, but after, you know, 2017-18, they're playing 70s ball, short run, and think the defense is going to hold it, and it just ain't going to happen.
Would you say that a lot of people that you know that are Steelers fans, what's the read on Mike Tomlin? Are we just like, let's just do something different?
Well, I know, you know, I live north of Philly. I hate to say that because I can't stand Philadelphia, but I do know a lot of people. I know the guy who grew up next to Joe Green, and he used to work for the New York Times. And, you know, a lot of us think that way, kind of. I guess it's kind of like an Andy Reid Philadelphia fan. They wanted him out, you know, because, you know, but like, you know, I love Bill Cowher, but Bill Cowher, you know, in the playoffs, he was 2-4 at home in the AFC Championships. I mean, 2-4, you know, he got one where I don't even know, if, you know, that Seattle Super Bowl he got. I don't know if, you know, he wasn't a great coach. He was a good, you know, he's like Peyton Manning. Pretty good in the regular season. Playoffs come, not so much. So, yeah, I think a lot of the Steelers fans are ready to move on and try to get some kind of younger, you know, Sean McVay type, get that person who has a little bit of imagination than, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers 70s football. That's my thoughts.
Well, Mike, be safe on the roads. Enjoy the season. Sounds like you're looking forward to it. And I think the Steelers will be on this list a couple of times tomorrow, perhaps. 888-710-4ISN. We'll get more from you. Get back into the NBA Finals. Where you think this is going to go now. 3 games in. Pacers have the 2-1 lead. Should be interesting. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Get back into the NBA Finals here in just a moment, wrapping up what we were talking about, the Pittsburgh offense. David is in West Virginia. What's up, David?
Hey, how you doing, Bart? I listen to you every night. I drive overnight, and I'm a lifelong Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I now live in Morgantown, West Virginia. Tomlin's going to have his first losing season with either Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph. I would have saved my money and went with Aaron Rodgers and let him play. So that's my comment on it. The rumors were that Arthur Smith would let Russell Wilson audible plays at the line of scrimmage and this and that. You know, the reporters in Pittsburgh reporting that. Well, why did they report that during football season? So I don't know what's going on. maybe Tomlin does need to go, but they're going to have their first, he's going to experience his first losing season as a coach.
Yeah, which would be a shame, David. Thanks for the call for Aaron Rodgers. You know, that you don't want that on your legacy. That's a little bit of a risk there. Rodgers, a Pittsburgh Steeler. Man, dude, these pictures of him, he looks old. I mean, he is old, especially for a quarterback, but he looks old. There's a video of him, somebody put one together, where if you just look at him throwing in slow motion, it looks like a Cialis commercial or something. Like a guy having fun, you know, throwing a football, one of those medical commercials.
I don't throw a football without my copper fit.
Yeah, it looks like, oh, my God. Jeez. Big Ron's in New Jersey. Big Ron.
What's up, El Bardo? Hey, I got a question for Carlos real quick.
Okay.
Is that okay? Is that okay?
Yeah, it's a bold strategy. Let's see if it pays off.
Well, you know, you obviously work in New York City, so I'm assuming you live in the tri-state area. Are you a lacrosse guy? Are you knowledgeable about lacrosse?
I know lacrosse is a sport.
Okay. That's where your knowledge ends.
I went to lacrosse for school.
I went to La Crosse, Wisconsin as well.
Nice.
Oh, okay. All right, I was just wondering, because lacrosse is big kind of in the tri-state area here, and my hometown is in the state championship game in a couple days, so I'm pumped up about that. So, Bart, you've been to a lot of NFL stadiums. How many would you say you've been to? Do you count them?
I think I'm up to 15 or 16.
Okay, so about half of them. What would you say is the best overall experience that you've had at one of these games?
I like the outdoor ones better, honestly.
Yeah.
Like Jerry World's nice and there's the big screen and you know, Lucas Oil's nice, and I really liked Buffalo because, and I know they're getting a new one, but there's a more like collegey intimate feel to it. You almost feel like you're at a high school game in a way. I like that. Pittsburgh was good, and I really like Seattle's feel. I like being out in Seattle.
Did you go to the Anchor Bar when you were in Buffalo?
I don't think so.
That's where buffalo wings were invented.
Yeah, no, I went to the other place that they like.
Okay.
I think it was Duff's. I went to Duff's.
Okay. And which stadium you think has the or city that you've been to out of these 16 stadiums has the best? I'm not going to be sexist and say the best looking women. I'm just going to say the best looking people.
I don't know.
I'm not going to answer that. You're going to pass on that one?
I mean, I made out with a girl in Tennessee.
Nice. I've actually heard that about the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. But I know in the NFL stadium, it's in Nashville. What about the best tailgate other than, obviously, Lambeau? Is Buffalo?
Buffalo's good. Kansas City's good, but we got kind of screwed. We had like a bar situation, and so we got bussed in, and they were late, and then there was nowhere for us. It was kind of a mess.
And what was the noisiest stadium? I would imagine it would be one of the domes.
How many questions we got here?
I got one more after noisiest.
The noisiest stadium was St. Louis because they pumped in fake noise, and I was sitting right by the speaker.
Oh, okay. What about the best, non-game activities?
All right, let me think about that. I got to let you go.
Okay.
All right, Ron. Lot of questions.
I have a question. Because I post all the interview podcasts separately, do I have to post this one separately?
Well, I was being interviewed.
God, were you ever?
Hey, Bart, what's the square root of the room dimensions that you're in right now?
I'll continue to say it. I probably had the most fun in Cleveland. I love their downtown. A lot of action. Went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone.
That was fun.
Cleveland!
I always, when we started, we go on a road trip every year to follow the Packers. So when we started, I always wanted to do something touristy as well. Like we went to the Needle in Seattle. We went to see where JFK got shot, which was weird in Dallas, but that's a thing people do. But then we kind of just get drunk. We kind of changed.
You got to see the things drunk. Like you're doing it in reverse order.
We just.
Hey, man, did you know that JFK got his brains blown out right on this spot? Let me take a selfie with it.
There are people just like walking around taking pictures. But it's just like a street. It is pretty weird, though, to be there. And it's got to be weird because that like people just drive on that street every day. Anyway. I had a question from Marco Belletti.
Hello, Bart.
Hey, buddy. So, the Knicks.
Yes.
How they are reaching out to these coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Are you of the mind that they made a rash decision and now don't know what they're going to do? Or the spin that I see, and this is why James Dolan and Leon Rose don't need to talk because people will do the spin for them. The spin is, what do you got to lose? Cast a wide net, talk to everybody, you know, turn over every stone. They're actually brilliant for reaching out to current head coaches and seeing if they would like to come aboard.
Yeah, those are the minions at MSG that are doing the dirty work for James Dolan to try to spin this thing because James Dolan made a rash decision. And obviously he spearheaded the whole thing of getting rid of Thibodeau because he didn't like whatever. And now the Knicks have no idea what the hell they want to do. And their search is basically calling everyone and saying, may I take your wife out on a date? Because I want to see if she'll leave you for me. But I need to take her out on a date first. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, this is weird.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's not weird. Look, you can get a coach that's already got a job. This has been done before many, 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 many a times. Usually, and this is where it gets, you know, I don't want to be overly simplistic, but you have an idea if they want you, you want them, everything's kind of back channel, and then you go to the team and go, look, he doesn't want to be with you, he wants to be with us, let's work out a deal, can we talk to him, and then we'll figure out what the compensation is. You know he wants to leave, he know he wants to leave, and we all work this out. It's not, hey, any idea if he wants to go somewhere, and they're like, get the hell out of here. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. The Knicks, do the back channel work. Why are we finding out that you want to talk to everybody and their mother? Stop. Do these things behind the scenes so that you don't look like a clown. And that's what the Knicks look like. A clown organization, because they are.
Stop it. Get some help.
You know what I would do if I was a team and the Knicks did not reach out to me? I would just float it that they did. Because it makes them look stupider. And also, we're getting to the point where if the Knicks don't reach out to your coach, what's that say about your coach?
You know what? I'm aboard. Go ahead. It makes all, look. And the idea that, like, well, you got to start with your diligence of see who's on the employed person first and then go to the people that are unemployed. How many coaches are in a league? So you're going to go to everybody? You're going to check in with everybody? I mean, like, what kind of nonsense? And this is where, you know, the MSG and the James Dolan, they think you're stupid and they've been doing this for 25 years. They think everybody's dumb and they put that out there and it goes, you know what? Yeah, what's the worst that happens? You shoot your shot. What's the, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Stop. Have a plan. Have an idea. Have some self-respect. Figure out what the hell you want to do and then move forward. That's not apparently the way the Knicks do things.
What is your thought on the finals here tonight? I thought that I said shocking. It's not shocking that the Pacers won. What's shocking about this game tonight is that, and they did the same thing to the Cavs, is they make you look bad. The Thunder are good, and they made the Thunder look bad because the Pacers, it's just this unrelenting style of defense. And in the first quarter, you're just like, oh, I'll inbound the basketball. It's 4-2. No, you won't. We're going to make you really work for it, and we're going to be on your ass the whole time.
Yeah, and they've really, I mean, look, they were always playing like that, but I feel like they've turned it up a notch in the last, whatever, 6, 7, 8 games. In the Knicks series and in this series, I feel like they've turned it just a little bit further. It's almost like they're playing into it, and they like it. They like the idea that they're making everybody tired. They're making everybody work, and they're going to do it for the entire 48 minutes. I was a little surprised that the Thunder were as sloppy as they were because they know that. It's not like this is new. This is not like it's surprising that the Pacers are going to press you. They're going to do what they do. I was surprised, not that the Thunder ran out of gas, because I kind of figured that was the case. They were just so damn sloppy through the first three quarters to put themselves in a position in the fourth quarter where they wound up running out of gas. So, look, I still don't think the series is over. I still think the Thunder are overall better. But I don't. If I was a Thunder fan, I'd be panicked right now. Because the Pacers have all the momentum going, and there's something about this, and I don't know if it's true or not, but that feel of destiny, it's starting to feel like this is the Pacers' year. And the Thunder, it's one of those, you're good, you're going to get one, you just didn't know how to quite win a championship, and it was just magic on the other side. That's the vibe I'm starting to get.
Yeah, how do you win a game in every series in an unprecedented way and then take second place?
It's possible. It's unlikely, I guess, or maybe because we don't really remember those stories. Maybe that's it. I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my head around the idea that the Thunder are going to all of a sudden do things that no one's done against the Pacers, which is not run out of gas and not be sloppy, because they do that to you. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, because I say plenty of things that are disrespectful towards the Pacers. This is not. They force you to run out of gas because they're on you. They're unrelenting for the entire game. And they make you turn the ball over because you're almost loose with it because they're so fast on the other way. You're trying to keep up with them. And you wind up doing things that are dumb because you're tired. So that forces it. And also because you're trying to keep their pace. So they do it to you. It's hard for me to think that, oh, the Thunder is going to just snap their fingers and, oh, this is okay. That's rough. Now, could I see them winning in 7? Maybe. I don't know. I feel like destiny is rolling downhill for the Pacers.
We'll see game 4 on Friday, 888-710-4ISN. Again, we'll hear from some of these guys in those locker rooms when we come back. Right now, let's get an update. Once again, it's Marco Belletti. It is the Bar Winkler Show, Thunder Radio Network. Would sound more depressed than that. That was the Pacers Radio Network. Sorry, my script that I wrote for tonight assumed that the Thunder would win the game. I had to tear that up and go on the fly here as the Pacers win game 3, 116-107, now up 2-1 in the series. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Greg is in Michigan. Greg!
El Bardo, it's the Warrior, Mr. Positive. Real quick, Detroit Lions, they're not going to do too well this year, let me tell you. Don't hate me in Detroit, but you and I know how I feel about Detroit.
You like Detroit, right?
I do, but losing Ragnow and our coaches, no, we'll be lucky to win 8, 9, 10 games at the most. And Chicago or Green Bay will be number one. But here's the thing. Marco, my man, was spot on. I love the underdog. I just feel that Indiana Pacers are playing like there's no tomorrow. They have the eye of the tiger. I am so proud of them. You know, who would have ever thought? You know, the world didn't really think that the Pacers had a chance against OKC, but look what's happening.
Proud of them. I'm the other way. I'm like, I feel like they got some demon magic going on.
Oh my God, El Bardo. Mr. Positive believes in their destiny, and I just got to tell you, they're doing it. They're doing it. And, you know, it just is amazing. And, hey, thanks for taking my call. Thanks, Carlos, and everybody. Go for your dreams. Have a good one, Bart.
Greg in Michigan, thank you for the call. Hey, if he's a Detroit guy, he's a Pistons guy. That means we should be not rooting on. The division rivals folks, NBA, we don't seem to care about that much. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was held to his lowest point total of the series, just 24 points for him on 9 of 20 shooting. After the game, he talked about what he saw from Indy's defense tonight.
They were aggressive. They were higher in the pick and rolls. They really were just, like Coach said, more aggressive, more forceful. Yeah, we got to, starts with me, but we got to apply that pressure back. Especially if you want to beat a team like that on the road, you got to be the more forceful team for sure.
Yeah, that's what they do. There was some discussion that maybe they should play their starters more, and they still might. Shea played 42 minutes where Tyrese played 36. Like Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams and Dort all played 36. Siakam and Turner played 32 and 30. Nembhard played 33. Naismith, 22. Some of those guys were in foul trouble early, and then Naismith actually ended up fouling out. But one thing that they do, and this applies to the bench, but it also applies for their starters, like they don't mind playing chaotic and aggressive because McConnell's going to play the 15 minutes he's going to play, but he's going to play that at the highest speed that he can. And so when he's in there, lets those other guys rest, but they know they'll get 15 out of him. They know they can get another 20 out of Mathurin and Ben Shepherd and Obi Toppin. So even some of those guys that are starters, they can just play more aggressive when they're out there. And that's why, you know, we talk about, did Oklahoma City, did they look a little tired? They tire you out. That's what that was a big takeaway I had from the Cavs series. Donovan Mitchell was playing 36 minutes a night. He looked gassed because they wear you down. They pick you up right away and they wear you down. Fourth quarter was not good for the Thunder. Outscored 32-18. Oklahoma City had a lead, and then they watched that slip away. Gilgeous-Alexander on what happened in that final frame.
It's hard to say because I don't see it from like a bird's eye view right now. After watching film, we'll definitely have a better idea. But they were aggressive. They were heavy in the crowd. I'm not sure how many points they had, but it felt like that when they scored, like we're going against a set defense, and it's always harder against a set defense.
You know, everybody's seemingly had their night when they've been in this run. And tonight's was Benedict Mathurin's night. So since 2000, players that have scored at least 25 points in a finals game at age 22 or younger, Kobe, LeBron, Kawhi, Tony Parker, Benedict Mathurin. Pretty good company to be in. And he did it 27 points as he's 22 years old. Oh, God, they're going to win. His birthday is game 6. Mathurin learned a lot about being on the bench last year.
I think as much as I was out last year not being able to play, I learned a lot. Just being on the bench, being next to the coaches who were able to run me through the game and stuff like that. So, you know, I was able to – it was an unfortunate situation, but I was – you know, fortunate enough to learn a lot and be ready for this year.
He also shouted out the crowd, which again included Indiana celebrities Pat McAfee and Caitlin Clark and Reggie Miller.
They were very, very important. You know, I think that the state of Indiana is about basketball, you know, and that's the first time that I really felt it. And as much as this is a dream right now, I'm not trying to live in my dream. I'm trying to, like, live in the present and make sure the dream ends well, which means winning next game and winning a championship.
He also had the most points ever scored in an NBA Finals game by a player with 22 minutes or less. Benedict Mathurin, who is going to turn 23 years old, next Thursday night. Game 6. Games in Indy. It's destiny, folks. It is destiny for the Pacers. Want to thank Marco Belletti and Carlos Ortiz. Greg Caserta, MLB Network, joining us in hour number one. Stanley Cup tomorrow. Bartometer tomorrow. We'll be back. Looking forward to it. Pat Boyle up next. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.